A Skagway Assembly member resigns months after a federal tax charges conviction. And a new weather station provides information for Haines skiers and hikers. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Longtime Skagway Assemblyman Dan Henry resigned his seat this week, less than a month before he goes to prison. In February, Henry pled guilty to federal tax charges. Henry was absent from the last two assembly meetings, leaving the question of whether he planned to resign up in the air. That question was finally answered at Thursday's meeting.
We did receive a resignation from Assemblyman Henry.
Henry wasn't there, so Mayor Mark Schaefer read from his letter, which Henry addressed to Borough Clerk Emily Deitch.
Emily, please inform the mayor and assembly that as of today, I'm resigning from the city, Skagway City Assembly, and please relay to all that has been my pleasure and most profound honor to serve on the council and assembly for the last 20 years. I believe Skagway to be in the best position financially in its existence with a bright future ahead. I would like to feel that I may have aided in the evolution and hope Skagway's continued growth and prosperity. Best regards, Dan Henry. And we wish him luck in what he's facing.
What he's facing is a year and a day in federal prison and possible penalties from the Alaska Public Offices Commission. Henry's case came to light early this year when he was convicted of willful failure to timely file federal income tax returns. He pled guilty to four misdemeanor charges after 2 years of plea deal negotiations. Henry is the owner of the Skagway Fish Company restaurant. According to court documents, he failed to file his income taxes from 2004 to 2012. He also failed to disclose any annual income over $1,000 on years of financial disclosure reports to APOC. Henry was ordered to pay more than $600,000 in restitution to the IRS. In September, a judge sentenced him to a year and a day in prison. At that hearing, Henry gave an explanation for his behavior, saying he struggled with drinking and gambling that led to a number of financial losses. There may be more repercussions on the way for Henry. An APOC case involving his incomplete filings is set to go before the commission at its regular meeting Tuesday. APOC staff recommended a fine of $22,000 for the violations. The commission is set to make a final decision on the penalty Tuesday. In the months since his case became public, Henry never publicly addressed the situation at assembly meetings, although he did write a letter to the editor in the local newspaper. As is the case for this story, Henry has not returned KHNS's request for comment. Although Henry didn't speak about the matter at assembly meetings, some residents did. Several people called on him to step down from elected office. Bob Carlson spoke at a meeting in August.
I believe the assembly members should be of the highest character and moral. I feel that you failed me and our community too.
Carlson was one of a few residents who asked Henry to resign in time for his seat to be placed on the October 4th municipal election ballot. But that did not happen. Now, the mayor will appoint someone to the seat Henry vacated. There were four candidates who ran for two open assembly seats in the recent election. Some have asked for one of the two candidates who were not the top vote getters to be appointed to the vacant seat. They are David Brenna and write-in candidate Spencer Morgan. Mayor Schaefer plans to address the appointment at the next assembly meeting. KHNS could not reach Schaefer for comment by airtime. Meanwhile, Schaefer appointed different assembly members to fill Henry's spot as vice mayor and chair of the Assembly Finance Committee. Tim Cochran takes over as vice mayor and Steve Burnham Jr. as finance chair. Henry has been ordered to report to a federal prison facility to serve out his sentence by November 1st. Haynes Borough Manager Bill Seward is proposing changes to borough code governing Helisky Map Advisory Committees. Seward says the need for changes came to his attention during the formation of the current Helisky Map Committee. Of the five seats on the committee, one goes to a conservation group representative, one to a Helisky industry representative, one to a borough assembly member, and two to residents who petition for a spot. Scott Sundberg, the owner of a local Helisky company, applied for a resident seat. The industry spot was taken by another Helisky company owner, Sean Brownell. Sundberg was randomly chosen out of seven applicants to fill one of the resident seats. Brownell and Sundberg are the two Helisky permit holders who submitted map amendment requests. Those requests trigger the formation of the advisory committee. Manager Seward admitted there may be an imbalance on the committee. He said he was taking lessons learned and trying to implement changes in borough code to prevent a similar predicament. His proposed amendments would add a line that specifies the two resident seats cannot go to people affiliated with an environmental or Helisky industry group. Seward also proposes changing the conservation organization seat to environmental organization. On the current committee, Tauchtinnick Watershed Council Director Meredith Pocart fills the conservation seat. Seward says he wants to change that language because the word conservation can have a, quote, negative context to it. The proposed code amendment ordinance will be introduced at Tuesday's Borough Assembly meeting. Seward says if the Assembly approves the changes, it will not impact the makeup of the current Helisky Map Committee. He says he cannot retract his appointments. The Map Committee is an advisory group. The Assembly has the final say on changes to permitted ski areas. If you're heading into the mountains around Haynes this winter, you'll now have a better idea of what the conditions are like before going out. A weather station installed on Mount Rapinski last month is now transmitting data back to the web for anyone to use. KHNS's Abby Collins reports.
A volunteer crew helped carry around 200 pounds of equipment up Mount Rapinski on a sunny September day.
We've been planning this project for about a year, and the idea has been in the works for several years.
Eric Stevens is director of the Haynes Avalanche Information Center, which is affiliated with the Alaska Avalanche Information Center. With help from volunteers, he assembled the equipment into a weather station just below treeline at 2,600 feet.
It's an alpine weather station. It has temperature, wind speed and direction, rainfall, and snow depth is what it measures.
Then the data is transmitted to the center's website. Steven says the new weather station is useful for a few different reasons.
One is just general safety and preparedness. When you're going out hiking or climbing or skiing on the mountain, it's really good to know what the conditions are like up there before you go out.
It's also important for avalanche forecasting. There are three areas that the Haynes Avalanche Information Center keeps an eye on.
We call them forecast zones. And they're different because the climate is distinctly different in each of these areas. There's still microclimates within these areas, but in general, the weather is pretty similar in each zone.
The area closest to town is the Lutac Zone.
And that's basically a maritime area right above Haynes. Mount Rapinski, Seven Mile Saddle, 3920, Tuggahoe, around Chilkoot Lake. That's the Lutac Zone.
That's where the new weather station is. As you go further north, there's the Transitional Zone and the Chilkat Pass Zone.
If you go a little more interior up the highway, you get to the Transitional Zone. So that includes the Talking Ridge, Old Faithful, Flower Mountain, Four Winds, that kind of interior area. And then as you keep going up to the top of the pass, up into BC, that's the Chilkat Pass Zone. And that's a much more continental climate, a lot colder and windier, and often a lot more dangerous.
Steven says he hopes to eventually have weather stations covering all three forecasting areas. Avalanche information is important for safety. In this region, there have been five avalanche-related deaths in as many years.
I think ideally, yeah, we would have a weather station in each zone. The more data, the better. There's also some data from the Palmer Project. The Constantine Mineral Resources has some data up the highway that we have access to. So Yeah, we're definitely getting there. We're much more data rich than we were when we started out 6 years ago.
This project was funded with grants from the Chilkat Valley Community Foundation and the Rasmussen Foundation, in addition to private donations of money and used equipment.
We'll be looking to upgrade that equipment and replace it as time goes on, but for now we've got something up and running. We're really excited about that.
Stephen says there could be some interruptions in the data going up on the website as they work out some technical issues. Otherwise, it's all live on alaskasnow.org. Reporting in Haines, I'm Abby Collins.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening.